interesting fields of gold. And welcome back, everybody. And I'm with my guest tonight, Marianne Grace. Hi, Marianne.
Hello, Arnaldo.
Hi. And lots been going on the last few years since you were last in the studios talking about crop circles.
Crop circles, yes. I had a friend, I told a friend, she knew that I was running something called the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, but she thought it was about gardening. And for those of you that may be a little confused,
never assume anything.
Right. No assumptions. We must address everyone. I'll just give a little something about what crop circles are. There's this amazing phenomenon that has been happening in fields of gold all around the planet. For years, actually, and from a long time, centuries, actually. Mm. But the modern-day crop circle phenomenon has been taking place since around the early 80s. And what happens is that you see these fields of wheat or barley or corn or anything, actually, strawberries, green beans.
I mean,
you know, it can be, you know, sand, trees. There have been saplings that have been laid down. But these patterns are suddenly found in these fields, in these crops, that sometimes they don't necessarily have a clear geometric form to them at all, but they can display other anomalous qualities, and we can get into that. But the ones that, of course, that fascinate us the most are the ones that have these beautiful geometric designs in them. And in England, in the fields of England, mostly around Wiltshire, around the sacred sites, but, of course, far afield from the Wiltshire area as well, these patterns have been springing up for years. Uh-huh. They're well documented in England now, but they do happen all over the world. So,
but now you say springing it up, but in fact it's pressing down.
Touché. <isn't it>? Yeah. Laying down or springing up, yes. Yes, of course.
How the actual marks are manifested in the crops,
yes,
is fascinating.
Yes, is that the upright stalks of grain get laid down often in very elaborate patterns where the stalks themselves can be woven together. Mm. And that's always really fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah. And
different type of weaving patterns.
Yes,
as well.
Weaving patterns. They're gorgeous when that happens. And also even things that can happen where in addition to the overall patterns that are laid down, you can have like sub patterns going on where, because of the lay of the crop, you'll see a fractal of the larger pattern, for instance, be laid down, or something that looks like a basket weave, which, of course, you know, they make baskets out of grasses.
That's
and
true.
Grains, and so it's completely appropriate.
Now, how big are, I mean, what do they range in size at?
Well, they can range in size from quite small, like, you know, a little 5-foot little circle, you know, a little tiny thing that can often, those can hold a lot of power, to things that are up to, oh my God, I think there was one that was like a quarter mile across a field that was a long, kind of slightly meandering line with dots in it. Hmm. That was a number of years ago. So they can get quite large. Oh. And, you know, and of course they appear overnight, usually. Sometimes they're revisited and expanded upon or elaborated in some way. That's always very interesting.
Wow.
And then, you know, and then there is the conundrum that who's making them? And, you know, that's always a really, really big question, and what is implied there. And of course, there are people that are making them.
Right.
And
that is acknowledged.
Yeah. That is acknowledged. There are people that are making them, but even with the people that are making them, there are, you know, it's a, we live in a very magical world, and all kinds of things happen even with them.
So, just how they're guided to make that particular pattern. Why?
Yes.
You know, where did that come from?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And often there are stories about someone was meditating just on that particular pattern or needed something to confirm some project that they were working on. And this pattern shows up and it exactly answers the problem that they were working on. And sometimes those can be man-made sometimes. But you know, what does this mean? I think that the whole message, of course, it's not just crop circles, but it gets really obvious with the crop circles is that, it's about consciousness and what is consciousness doing? How large is consciousness? How interwoven is this world? What's possible?
Exactly, and what that conveys to people, isn't it? That is the key. You mentioned the word is power. It's not just crop circles aren't just per se inert.
No, they're not. They're
effective. Us about the power and all the forces working around it.
Wow.
Well, some of them.
Let's see. How do I start with that? You could talk almost about anything here. There's the designs themselves. Geometry has power. Geometry itself is powerful.
That is true.
So that's one level. There's so many levels and levels and levels that you can look at any one of these. They're very holographic. There's the collective consciousness power of that each of us is carrying. That I like to say when people ask who's making them, the answer that I most prefer is that you are, we are, we all are making them. We cannot divorce our own consciousness from this manifestation that's happening.
Right.
And so if that's true, then it's kind of like, you know, how the I Ching works, you know, this oracle that you can throw coins and incredibly, you know, you have a question, you throw the coins, it comes up with a pattern, a hexagram, and you go and read it, and it's like so specific and right on to your question. It's just amazing. Well, the reason why that works, in my opinion, is because everything in a moment necessarily, it's almost, should be like obvious, necessarily is characteristic of that moment. If it's in the moment, it's characteristic of that moment. And so when you throw the coins and you're asking the question, there's going to be some relationship there. Well, I think that there's something similar in this manifestation of crop circles, that when these patterns happen, by whomever, people...
Unknown forces,
extra dimensionals, extraterrestrials, earth energies themselves, and our own consciousnesses, our own questions, that there's something that allows a manifestation, a pattern, an image to be brought down and laid into the fields that is going to speak to the people that are looking at it, and any of us that's looking at it. And it's going to speak to each one of us with our own question in mind.
Right.
So if you have, I really love mathematics and esoteric maths and geometries and, you know, sacred geometries, things like that. I personally really love that stuff. So when something happens in the fields, that part of me completely gets lit up and I start, you know, imagining how that might be connected. And of course it's about consciousness too. And so that all weaves, so to speak, weaves together.
Right.
And, whereas someone else, you know, maybe who is a skeptic, will approach, see these things, and will start using their mind to go, okay, well, how could that have been made? You know, who are the people that are involved, or why were they doing it, or what's the conspiracy? And
But yet it poses a question in people.
Right. Yeah. And it's particular to that point of view. It's like, you know, with the hologram, you know, the perspective at which you come to the holographic image yields to you that image from that perspective.
Right.
Right. Right. So it's the same. Actually, you can apply that to everything in life.
Yeah.
You can apply that to everything in life. But it's really fascinating to do it with the crop circles. So
yeah, just sort of the image that flashed almost. You know, obviously crop circles are an impermanent,
right?
Ephemeral thing. But it's almost like maybe things like Stonehenge and all those type of circles, which were made permanent, are another manifestation of the same thing? Has that been worked together?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, from there, we think about Stonehenge having a real, a cosmic relationship, you know, that it's a temple to alignments of the sun and moon and the earth and the seasons and the stars and all of that. And often the crop circles will have some of those same alignments. And I mean, you know, we have this eclipse coming up. Sometimes the people can read all kinds of things into these designs where they'll find dates and the way certain elements are numbered, or, you know, how many they're going. I mean, there's a lot of interpretation going.
Right.
Ton. And I, you know, in my opinion, I think all interpretations are correct because they're all coming from a perspective that can be heard.
It's a Rashomon perspective, isn't it?
Uh-huh, right. Yeah. I don't quite know the reference of Rashomon. Tell me that one.
It's the a Japanese film, Kurosawa film, where two people come meet in a clearing and somebody kills the other person, but five other people were watching it, and they all had different stories, all related, totally different stories from the same scene.
Ah, very good.
So it's that type of thing where everyone gets you know, what they see.
Right. Yes.
You know, which isn't necessarily.
Right, right, exactly. And so we need to be able to hear each other's stories in order to find the unified consciousness field.
Exactly.
Which I think is, you know, being asked of us at this point. So
that's an interesting point. Here we are on spinning around on this planet, and we're trying to, whether we go to a unity or whatever, some sort of general consciousness, or we're always searching for it.
Yeah, and you know, the crop circles really, I mean, they do imply pretty vividly that there are more consciousnesses here that are sentient and powerful than the human collective one, you know, that we're not alone. and they're, you know, I mean, if they're doing communications with us, I mean, this is a really beautiful way to communicate with us. It's so loving. It just feels so loving.
Really?
And, I mean, you know, they're beautiful. So,
it's like giving somebody a temporary tattoo.
Right. Yeah. It's not controlling, you know, at all. You can think of it what you will. And yet they're stimulating something, you know. It's really lovely. So
now I know we've actually had crop circles here in Sonoma County.
Indeed. Know, our latest one was in Benicia in 2015, maybe. I think it was about 3 years ago. And it was reflective of one, our earliest one that I know of, which was in 1995. There was one in Santa Rosa that was a triangle with circles on each of the points, and it was pointing down. It was kind of on a hill, so you could see it from Highway 12, actually.
Okay.
And there were other anomalous things that happened with it. I think it was just in grass. It wasn't in a field, field of grass. course, are all grasses, but but it was a triangle pointing down. And then the one in Benicia a few years ago, the triangle was pointing up, on also on a slope, and it had a little satellite. It also had circles around each of the points, and there was a little satellite flattened circle to its west. And I did visit that one. I was not able to go in, but there was, it was just almost directly south of Travis Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that interesting, kind of pointing to Travis. And, you know, who knows what goes on there. I can only speculate. I have no evidence. But, of course, we love these conspiracy theories. And but I did see a UFO while I was there, and
oh my goodness,
I was just about ready to leave, and I'd been there for about 4 hours, kind of trying to see if there was some way I could get into the field, and I was just about to leave, and I looked up over the crop circle. Actually, what happened was I saw a plane coming, and it did a U-turn kind of over the crop circle.
Okay.
And then as I was watching this plane turn around, I saw this white dot in the sky. It was just a little white dot, but it was stationary. And it was a blue sky, you know. It was midday. It was a bright blue sky and this little white dot, so not a star, you know. And it was stationary. It wasn't a plane. I'd just seen a plane moving, and I watched it for a while. I was, am I really seeing that? Is that really there? And, you know, it's a little hard to focus on. I tried to get my camera to be able to focus on it. Couldn't find it at all. And then I saw it spit out like pew, 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 three little white dots to one side, and then it disappeared.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was anomalous.
Yeah,
and who knows, you know, over Travis. But, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I don't, you know, the fact that I saw that all simultaneously with the crop circle is...
does seem more than coincidental. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. And so, and of course, these crop circles make you start to wonder about that whole area of mystery.
Exactly.
That we have around us.
So many levels. And well, we're chatting with Marianne Grace, the founder of the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group.
I call myself the director.
The director.
That's what I put on my card.
I like that. And if you have a question for Marianne, please feel free to call 707-925-7550. 755-9250. I'll get it there.
Right.
I'm getting all the, between, we've switched phone numbers and wavelengths and everything. So a couple of months ago. So it, got to keep reinforcing that. So, now, you mentioned, you know, seeing the crop circles, but, do other, I know, when I, happened to be interviewing Reg Presley of the Trogs, remember, and it turned out he's a real crop circle person, and you know, he told me of an experience where he saw a flock of birds come up to where a crop circle was and literally part and fly round it.
Right.
Isn't that
interesting?
Yeah.
They don't end at the ground. I think. I mean, you know, if there's If there is a field of some kind, the theories now are that they're counter-rotating plasmic fields that create them. That's been thought that there's some kind of microwave energy that creates them also, that heats the moisture in the crops and then allows them to become pliable. And so then they can be reformed in patterns. And sometimes there are... actually, the cellular structure can be changed inside the actual stems and the nodes inside the crops. That's been documented. That's really interesting. So, you know, if there's these and also the soils get impacted. The soils can have magnetic particles be geometrically and what's the word?
Aligned, or
yeah. For instance, it's like they're these little magnetic iron balls that they've found in the soils. There was one study that's, you know, and there was the BLT research, Burke, Levengood, and Talbot. They were the people in the United States that were collecting samples. This was and doing most of the research with the grains, with the soils, and you know, so they were doing that for quite a number of years. That, but of course, it's very expensive. Burke is gone, Levengood is gone, and Nancy Talbot is also she's struggling a little bit with her health at the moment. So and she had gotten more involved with this other fellow, Robert Vandenbrugge, which I can talk about later.
Yeah, I'd like to know who is.
Yeah, he's involved in amazing. But let's see, BLT research and the, where was I? I was talking about the soils. Oh yes,
right,
they don't end necessarily at the surface of the planet. You know, these energies. If you're a dowser, sometimes you can feel fields from further away from ley lines and all of this. And they've been able to measure these fields like as a dome, for instance, over the fields. And of course, I don't know if probably there are pilots that still won't fly over them because they've had the experience that their magnometers get wacky or even engines cut out. You know, there's dozens of stories of people taking their camera equipment in and it failing, or your cell phone battery suddenly just completely drains and you can't get any reception within the crop circle, and you hold it outside the crop circle and it has reception, things like that. So there are definitely fields involved. And, you know, with ones that are anomalously affected. I say the affected and not, I mean, it could be made. Definitely the ones that are anomalously made will have those fields in them. But I think that even ones that are man-made can be re-affected by, you know, we have so much attention on them. And, you know, again, we cannot divorce ourselves from the phenomenon. So our own attention may even be supplementing the energetic field in some way, feeding those fields, even creating them to some extent.
Exactly.
And then if there are other consciousnesses that are that want to be involved, you know, they like, ooh, they're the humans. There they are. They're doing something fun. In fact, there's dozens of stories of people making them and balls of light flying through and freaking them out, or, you know, time anomalies or things like that. So, and then again, man-made ones can sometimes be revisited and have something added to them or energetics added to them in some way. So, and there are stories of that too. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let me just play a little bit of music. Give you a little rest, and let's do a little Circles by the Fleur-de-Lis.
Take the homeward track, a dizzy
circles. Yes. We're talking with Marianne Grace of the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group. And yes, it's a very vibrant study. A lot of people are interested in such things all around the world.
Yeah, not enough people, yeah. In my opinion. But yeah. It's like, why wouldn't everybody be interested in this? I don't get it. But it's so obviously a wonderful thing to pay attention to. Yeah.
Well, obviously, now, if people want to pay more attention, they can come to your meetings.
Yes.
And,
yes. The Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group is listed on meetup.com. What a service. And feel free to become a member, and you'll get the announcements for my groups that happen once a month in Petaluma at my house, you know, which is a lovely place. And it's usually on the second Sunday of the month. In fact, I just saw two people walk by that tend to come to my meetings.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oh,
it's really funny. and it's always a wonderful crowd. It's very, very loving, open-hearted. Mm. And we look at, well, sometimes there'll be a theme. And right now, we're in the summer. And right now is when they're mostly happening.
Because of the crops.
Because the crops are there, right? You have to have crops to make crop circles, you know? So, that's very helpful. So so now is when the lion's share, so to speak, tends to come down. So, yeah, we're right in the thick of it right now. So,
now, is there like a network that reports on them and gets them on?
That's actually one of the reasons why I think England may be special to the crop circle makers in some way, because it's a condensed area, more or less. They speak English, and they have a relatively free press, and so and English has become the lingua franca, or the lingua inglese of the world in a certain way. So so that information can be disseminated in a way that most people, or many, many, many people, a majority of people will be able to receive it. And then, I mean, you know, crop circles do happen all around the world, but we don't hear about the ones that happened in Russia and in China and, you know, or in these little areas that, or even in the United States, where it's such a large territory. Right. So I think it works for them to be more or less in England. So,
do they have other names for it in other countries?
Crop circles? Well, yeah. Yes. There's a Dutch name and a German name, and you know, but basically they translate to crop circle.
Yeah, it's closely.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to pronounce those words. Grand cercle, something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. So,
you're forgiven.
Thank you. People do know of them. So,
That's it. We were talking just before the potential message. It's worldwide, but there's potential messages there.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
This is actually one of the things that's most dear to my heart, from my perspective, which I like my perspective. You know, I carry a perspective of consciousness, of evolutionary consciousness, and I think these designs, the way that they get laid down, where they get laid down, the name places, the way that people interact with them, and the way that they land in my consciousness, that that there are stories that are being promoted, I would say. And they, for me, because this is my perspective, they do have to do with consciousness raising. And for getting us to become proper galactic citizens. I do think that we're at this evolutionary edge where the cosmos is about to get a lot brighter and more available. And that we have not been good neighbors I mean, that's really clear to each other that, you know, we have not been good neighbors to ourselves, you know. And if we are, if suddenly the consciousness is going to expand, that we can suddenly see how surrounded we are by so many species and beings and levels and dimensions and, you know, all of that, if that should be what's happening, that's, you know, going to be available in the not too distant future, is my opinion, that we need to learn how to become better citizens. And in my opinion, the one, if I could bring it down to just one word, the word would be respect. And for me, respect has a geometry. And that geometry has been repeated over and over and over in these crop circle designs for years. And
can you
in science, you know, that their understanding that every point, every atom, every point of collected organization of intelligence, let's say, even atoms are intelligence. Mm-hmm. They maintain their integrity.
Right.
They have these fields around them that have a north and a south pole, and a magnetic torus field is what they're called, where they're donut shaped fields where energy is emerging out of one side and going back into the other, and it's spinning, and they're generally spinning. So that's, if you were to look at the geometry of that from overhead, it would be a dot in the center and a circle around it.
Right.
Okay. That is, I mean, I'm looking at your CDs that are on the wall there. There it is, you know, and their information fields right there, you know, those CDs are Tauruses right there.
And we just manifested that out.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that design has been in the fields over and over and over and over and over and over and over, and in all kinds of different ways, you know. So that, to me, that's the sign of I recognize an entity. I recognize that you are an individual field that is coherent, and that if we expect to, I mean, it seems like that's the attitude that we need. You know, it's like when someone arrives, anyone, human or other, when someone arrives, the appropriate response is, hello. You know, it's not, I'm suspicious of you, and I need to make sure that you're not going to rob me of my stuff or whatever. I mean, you know, which tends to those kinds of energetics of fear and contraction create fear and contraction in other, and it perpetuates that type of thing. Whereas
and
if you're able,
minimizes what we see,
right,
and experience,
exactly. So, whereas if you can come with the field of I see you, to use the what's the phrase from that movie? You know, with the blue people on the planet. Avatar. Thank you.
Avatar.
I see you. I mean, that was a wonderful transmission, actually, in that film. I see you. I recognize you as a valid, coherent integrity of consciousness.
Right.
And hello. Just hello, I welcome your expression, and may that be, you know, may we live in a, may we understand that we actually already live such a large universe where there's room, oh my God, there's room for everybody.
Right.
And I don't have to be so, afraid that I'm going to lose my own integrity.
Right.
Or my own coherence. So that's, I mean, wow. In a in a Taurus nutshell.
Well, as you say, going back to respect, respect is seeing that thing, that person, that object, and all that is surrounding it and how it lives in this environment.
Right. There can be a harmonic relationship for absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the crop circles express so much creativity. You know, you'll see this one design of the dot with the circle around it expressed in so many creative ways. Mm. You know, each is different. Each is a little different. And even if there are repetitions, there's something that is different about each one. There's room for everything. So.
Exactly. Well. Oh, it's amazing stuff because there's so much to be read into it because it's changing all the time. And now let's talk about some of the people who are involved, in the world in what you're doing and studying it deeper and further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are they and where are they going?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think that some of the interest level has kind of died off for some of the people that, I mean, like, for instance, Colin Andrews, who was kind of, he coined the term crop circle and was a friend of Reg Presley.
Oh, okay.
They were close friends. He's still very involved, but his message is now much more about consciousness and he's very interesting. He's living in the United States now. There's a filmmaker by the name of Patty Greer who's been documenting the crop circles for a number of years, lately her last film has really been about Levengoods of BLT Research, who was the scientist, really the science part of BLT, that his lab partner, Penny Kelly, Patty Greer recently met, and Penny was bringing out all kinds of evidence about the what they had found in the lab of how the seeds get potentized and are able to grow at a faster rate if they are subjected to these fields. And so Patty is talking about how she's seeing that that's being suppressed because, you know, powers that be don't want us to get this information and be able to save ourselves with, you know, potentially, potentized crop and all of that. So, you know, she has that particular perspective, but she's also doing wonderful work with bringing out more information about what's been going on. Oh, and then there's Robert Vandenbroucke that I mentioned a little bit. He's a Dutch medium. He's a young man. He's probably in his mid to late 30s. And Nancy Talbot of BLT had also been documenting him, and up until her stroke in April. But you can find a lot of information on BLT Research website about Robert Vandenbroucke. Now, Robert's the only person that we know of that that regularly gets the signal, that he gets a feeling, agitated. He gets agitated that something is going to happen, and he'll tune in and he'll receive the design and he'll draw it, and then he'll receive the location where it's going to happen.
Whoa.
Around him, somewhere in Holland, in Hoven or Standerbuten, or I don't know the names. There are these little towns and little villages that have fields in them. You know, sometimes it's just grass, but parks or something. And then he doesn't drive, so he'll call a friend. Sometimes it's even often it's in the middle of the night, right?
He's
a night bird, and he'll call a friend, and his friends know, if I call you, you have to come now, you know. And they'll drive out to the field, and usually Usually the crop is a design is already there. They'll walk into the field. Sometimes, though, the design isn't there yet, but he'll like see in his mind's eye, he might see a ship over the field. He might see lights. And the person with him may also see those things. And it has happened more than once where a ball of light comes traveling across the field and they see the crop lay down. With witnesses.
Ah, that's what I was going to ask next.
Yes, with witnesses.
In process.
Mm. So, and there have been, there have been some really wild stories. But also, I mean, Robert is, he's a medium. It's not just about crop circles for him. He's able to communicate with beings, other dimensionals, with those who've passed over. Images manifest on cameras for him, on anyone's camera. You know, wow. He takes your camera and starts making photographs and your dead relative shows up on them or someone that's important to you. Even famous figures may suddenly show up on them, but it's someone that you personally have been thinking of or dealing with or researching.
Some connection,
or an object might appear that has particular importance for you. So things manifest on film for him. Very interesting. Wow.
That is
really, really interesting. And the messages that he gets, he also does group events where he'll do readings with people in the room. Very beautiful healings that happen in those ways. But the message that his heart, he's got such a beautiful heart that it's always about love. You know, this is it. You know, we're here to learn respect. You know, and he talks about how the beings that come that have from elsewhere that are here now, they have earned the right to be here because they understand this code of respect, right. I will call it.
Right.
And that there may be beings that have been here that have been, you know, doing the control operations, so to speak, but that I think that... I don't really know because I'm not in touch, but I like this idea that that those who have come at this time are here to support us through this evolutionary next step.
Well, I mean, love and respect, it's basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, there can't be much between it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, to actually translate love as respect is kind of simplifies it in a little way. I mean, I think we load a lot of different meanings on this word love.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
And if we put it down to just like simple respect, it becomes easier in a certain way.
Yeah. I think so. That the depth of that, is easier to see, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
More relatable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, words, sometimes we need diagrams and pictures rather than words.
Yeah.
They tell us more.
Yeah, around Robert says that the crop circles that happen around him are often, well, sometimes they are very clear designs in one way or another, but sometimes they're kind of oblong or they're different. They're not necessarily geometric designs like the way that we tend to think of them in England, but they're a little bit more mysterious. And he says that that intentionally they're that way so that we don't bring too much of our rational thought to them, that we're actually they want us to open up to something that's more mysterious.
Right.
So, because there's more going on, there's a whole lot more going on, and it's not linear.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, right now we feel like everyone's feeling, I don't know, panic, stress. There's so much going on.
Yeah, we need to find the answers.
Yeah, we've got to find the answers. Do crop circles respond in that way, or do they have their own literally cycles and circles of when they appear?
Not quite understanding. Well, what are you asking?
At times of, say, human stress or what we think is troubled times,
right.
Do they increase, decrease, change? Is there anything in that
question.
Pattern?
I don't actually know. Mm. They've been pretty consistent over, you know, many years now. So there have been some years that have been a little drier than others, but they continue to appear. So this year's been very interesting. The patterns that I've been seeing this year have been, feels like that there's something new emerging. The designs that I've seen, a theme that's been repeated a few times has been like, if you nest crescents, it looks like a Taurus field. Hmm. So if you nest crescents in a circle, it creates something that looks like a little Taurus field. And that, so that's a design, that's a theme that's happened many times over many, many years. But this year, that theme has happened with a little cube emerging out of the center. A little cube design. And then that was one of the ones in the earlier in the year. A little bit later in the year, there was one that had the crescents around the outside and a star tetrahedron, you know, kind of a complexified image of the cube was in the center. A geometry was in the center of that, you know. So in my opinion, you know, that particular geometry is one of the basic geometries of the fabric of the universe, actually, that star tetrahedron. So you know, new realities are emerging. That's a story we could tell.
Really?
Yes,
really?
From these particular designs.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing I love to do, is go, they're actually giving us a communication. But, you know, that's where I go.
Right, exactly. And, and that's it. You know, in your study group, you bring people in from, tell us, like, the type of people you bring in and what they talk about.
That's...
What do you explore?
Yeah, in fact, I had Robert Vandenbrugge as a guest Skyper back in December. And I had Nancy Talbot the month before. So, yes, I do get people to present. There have been a number of things. I've been doing this since 2009. So there's been lots of opportunities to have guest speakers. During the summer months, I tend to focus on what are the designs that have been emerging and what can we as a group, each of us that comes, what does this do for each of us? So it's an opportunity because it stimulates all kinds. People want to have a forum to talk about what they think these things mean. And so that's, during the summer in particular, that's kind of what I provide, including giving myself a stage, you know, to be able to say what I think, you know.
So. Well, like some of the, absolutely. Right. Well, because I wanted to talk about, you know, other things you do as well. But but some of the people who have come, have there been some, you know,
well, Robert was
things
an amazing
that have happened, man. You know.
Like in the group?
Yeah, people have just realized something or some sort of anything that they... Yeah,
I do. It's hard to know what other people are going through. Mm. People do keep coming back. So, you know, it seems to be rich enough. So, and, you know, I do have this crop circle group, but I also do a group about embodied sacred geometry and, you know, teaching people about what is the value of sacred geometry? Why is this important? How is it something more than just a pretty picture? Right. And does it affect my body, my existence, you know? So so that's an interesting group. And so and those two things obviously are very intermeshed.
And when you say sacred geometry, can you explain that a little bit?
Well, there are these designs that that we know about that are, you know, in many different religious contexts, for instance, that are... they're geometrically aligned. They have harmonics going on in them that are... relatively simple, but repetitive in some way. You know, I mean, it's the ones you learned about in geometry class in high school, but they actually have much more significance than how we learned about them in high school. And they're not just the numbers involved, or
right? It's not just,
you know,
it's
lines. It's not just mechanical. There are harmonics that are going on in them that actually carry power in ways that if you're open to listening to them or seeing them or feeling them, then they can actually resonate for you fractally out into the cosmos. So, because those geometries are all around us all the time. The Earth is completely surrounded by these, a sphere is a sacred geometry. So, and that is every celestial body is a sphere, you know, and they have these torus fields around it. The torus field is a sacred geometry, you know. The way it gets flattened on paper is the dot with the circle around it.
Right, of course.
Right. So, yeah. And each of these ones, you know, in the field, we're getting two-dimensional displays of something that's actually way more complex. So,
three-dimensional.
right. Yeah. So how do we relate to these geometries within ourselves? I mean, you know, where our bodies are... Our geometry, our bodies, mm-hmm. we're these bilateral expressions. That bilateralism is a, you know, the cross is a bilateral geometry, but it has a vertical and a horizontal. That is a sacred geometry, you know, for instance.
Exactly.
Right. It has power.
And of course, especially when you put a dot on the where they cross in the middle, it becomes a wheel.
For instance, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Suddenly you get something magical.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yes, and that relates to your own body directly if you're willing to study it that way.
Right.
So, for instance, so that's what we look at in that group.
Well, like a radio station, we're emanating, we're broadcasting this out.
Frequencies, yes.
The frequencies, certain vibrations and harmonics.
Right. Yeah. You need geometries in order to create frequencies.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So it's all there. It's just, we just don't, it's not as if it's right there in front of us. So,
right.
You know, broken into bits. It's,
right.
So we don't bother to look at it.
Right. We get absorbed into our everyday stories that, once you start actually kind of opening up to the many, 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 how many many's can I put in here, levels of, rich manifestation that's actually going on. I mean, you know, we have such a myopic possibility of, I mean, we're stuck in these human bodies, you know, there's only a limited frequency range that we can actually see or hear,
right,
and perceive. But if you start to see these different ways of that are keys in a certain way of accessing perception, then, you know, the world opens up.
Right.
Yeah. And my little everyday story becomes kind of boring. Flat.
Well, that's it. There's got to be something beyond us.
Yeah. You know, thank God.
Hope. Thank goodness. Yeah. Well, yes. Thank goodness. We've got, we've gone over, but let me just put a little bit of music on and then we'll wrap up with a, give us all the information and we'll go from there.
Sure.
Let's, find something else perfect.
I'm sure you have
Leo Kottke, Open Country Joy.
Oh, I love Leo Kottke. Talk about harmonics.
Oh, it's... Thank you. yeah, the wondrous Leo Kottke, Open Country Joy. And, yeah, harmonics, a guitar. That is a wonderful example of translating harmonics into something that we find beautiful.
Interesting. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
In a different energy form.
It's all about beauty, in my opinion, too. Respect and beauty.
Right. Yeah, because if you respect it, it's beautiful. It has to be, I think, isn't it?
It can find beauty if it feels it's being respected.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend about that the consciousness that I really want to cultivate in myself and encourage in everyone, if that's possible, is that this question of what's the flower that you want to be? What's how can you best flower? What is it that you want to bloom? How might you bloom? And I welcome and I witness your bloom.
Nice.
Mm.
I like that.
Because,
I mean, talking about bees earlier, I mean, bees see, when they go to a flower, they see lines and all sorts of wild things going on there, don't they?
Yeah, and then they dance with it and they go... I had California poppies in my garden, and I saw this bee go into the flower and kind of lie down on top of the petals and just kind of swim around the stamens inside the flower. It just looked so ecstatic, you know. It's
just
very cute.
Whale of a time.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, they're seeing something that we don't see, and, you know, we see things they don't, but it's all part of that big picture that we're trying to, you know, you're trying to explain and show people.
Or at least open to.
Open to it,
Yeah.
Well, we've been speaking with Marion Grace of the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group. Mm-hmm. And tell people how they can get in contact with you and when you have your meeting.
Yes. Well, probably the easiest way is to go on to Meetup, meetup.com. Look, you can put in Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group and you'll find my group. I do have a website. It is called theradiantpoint.com. It's also my name, Marianne Grace, but Marianne is spelled not how you would imagine. It's Marien Grace.com. But if you remember the Radiant Point, and there's a lot of I haven't written on there in a while. I need to update it, but there are a lot of articles. There's a lot of interesting things. You know, you can find out stuff. Articles about embodied sacred geometry. Articles about. I also had a presentation I was doing for a while called Alchemy of the Apocalypse.
Woo.
Yeah, boy, do we need that now? Yeah. Oh boy, do we need that one?
Update it. Quick.
Yeah, I think I better. And then of course crop circles, and there's several presentations, videos that I have online. You can find me on YouTube. Crop Circle Grace is my YouTube channel.
The Crop Circle Lady.
Yep, that's me. That's me. Yeah, so you can see a little bit about what my approach is. And watch me in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fabulous. Well, just keep doing the action.
Thank you.
Keep trying to tell us what we need to see.
Yeah.
It's very important.
I think so.
Because we're obviously distracted into totally other things that aren't of any value.
Right. And we didn't once say his name.
That's right. We won't spoil it now.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this has been really fun, Arnaldo.
Well, I'm glad you came in, Marianne. It's nice to chat with you again.
Yeah.
And just give people something to think about, beyond ourselves.
Yeah. You can find tons of images online of crop circles. If you want to see what's going on this season, cropcircleconnector.com is always a wonderful resource. But there are other resources as well, and lots of photographers now. People taking drone images now.
Yeah.
That's the big thing these days, is that the drones are flying over the crop circles and getting pretty darn good images, you know, of the crop circles themselves and in the landscape and the surroundings. And
That's lovely. I hadn't thought
about
that.
And moving, you know, seeing the crops moving and the winds and the light. And yeah, really lovely.
That's true. It's not a static scene.
A static scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, keep at it.
Well, thank you.
And thank you so much for coming in again. And just love it. And
I bow.
We will keep searching.
Oh.
Let's do a bit of circle waltz.